Come, you masters of war. You that build the big guns. You that build the death planes.
Carl Sherman's got huge news on the reported imminent ouster of Pam Bondi, Capitol police officer failing a polygraph on the pipe bombing, and more. It's all coming up on Gino's complete meltdown and more. But here's a special report.
Fertilizer pharma shock is a compounding crisis that ties energy choke points directly to crop yields and medicine supplies in a chain reaction Washington refuses to acknowledge.
And just think about this. They have no Navy. They have no military. They have no nothing. They're losing. They admit they're losing. They're begging to make a deal.
Iran's closure of the Strait of Hormuz has halted roughly one-third of global seaborne fertilizer trade and nearly half the world's urea, the critical nitrogen source for crop growth.
The U.S. is a net exporter of fertilizer, but we have big fertilizer problems in the United States because, remember, even if you're exporting it, and the price has gone up. So if you're from Iowa, where I'm from, You're paying a lot more for fertilizer this planting season, assuming you didn't buy it ahead of time, which, by the way, most of the farmers didn't. They've been in a little bit of a tight squeeze. Often they buy input, seed and fertilizer, prior to a year in advance of planting. Well, this year they didn't. So they're buying it basically not forward, but buying it on the spot market.
Urea prices from the Middle East have surged from under $500 per metric ton to around $700 or higher, with overall fertilizer costs up more than 50% year over year. Spring wheat planting could hit the lowest levels since 1970.
Setting the table on farmers is they were in bad shape prior to the war financially. They were getting squeezed. So as a result, they didn't do what they often do, and that's buy their inputs forward, buy them a year in advance.
Oh, wow. So they did that. They did that even before the crisis we're facing right now.
Yes.
Russia has suspended ammonium nitrate exports. China has restricted key blends to protect domestic prices. And India faces gas shortages threatening its urea output. With 318 million people already in acute hunger, analysts warn another 45 million could slide into crisis if disruptions last beyond June. Layer on the pharmaceutical strike, Iranian missiles hit Israel's Neot Hovav industrial zone, home to Teva Pharmaceutical, the world's largest generic drug maker, and Adama Chemical Facilities. Teva supplies affordable generics for cancer, heart, respiratory, and neurological treatments relied on by hospitals worldwide, especially in third world nations. Pre-existing shortages were already severe. Prices will rise, access will tighten, and chronic patients could face rationing or expensive switches in the months ahead. Iran's closure stranded Qatar's North Field output 33% of global helium. That also left 200 cryogenic helium containers at risk of total boil-off within weeks. No helium means no chips for AI GPUs or data centers, while India's 70,000 MRI machines and semiconductor memory supplies face immediate pressure. Jet fuel has at least doubled in the U.S., with airlines warning of dry inventories, cancellations, and rerouting, while diesel tightness grips Australia and South Korea, prompting wartime economic measures.
Chanju, what is the South Korean government doing to address all of these problems?
They've launched a full-scale emergency economic response involving the offices of the president, the prime minister, and more. They're also looking to pass a war supplementary budget, and they're urging the public to conserve energy.
The just-in-time global system that was built on cheap energy, fragile choke points, and the illusion of endless efficiency has had its table flipped over. Stock what you reasonably can, demand real domestic resilience over globalist fantasies, and build tolerance for uncomfortable truths that are imminent. John Bound, reporting for InfoWars.
I'm holding in my hands two compounds that are guaranteed to change your life. T3, pure atomic iodine. Nobody else has it. It's next level. And ultramethylene blue, medical grade methylene blue. These two products together supercharge the mitochondria of the cells, clean out the body, and are game changers. Iodine is essential, meaning you die without it. The UN admits that most people that have cognitive disabilities is because of lack of iodine. You add ultramethylene blue to this, it supercharges everything. Ladies and gentlemen, T3 is now available at galaxystore.com. The very best iodine that we know of that exists. There may be better. We'll adopt that if we can. But this is the best for sale we found, and we have the best medical grade ultramethylene blue. Get yours now, right now. If you're a VIP member, for 50% off. Regular customers, 25% off. It funds the InfoWar, but more importantly, it is a game changer. If you don't take my advice and try this, you're insane. All you gotta do is try it. You'll be blown away. Take action now. TheAlchemistStore.com to get T3, now available, and methylene blue at TheAlchemistStore.com.
You are listening to an InfoWars.com frontline report. If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Well, you could not have more perfect timing. Kyle Serafin on screen, the most famous accurate FBI whistleblower ever, bat 1,000, was already scheduled to come on to talk about his prediction that Bondi would be out before it was even in the news today. Now she is out, announced minutes ago. And wait for it. Talk about a punch in the stomach. I went to break and they said, sir, they just fired Bondi. And sir, get ready for this. Todd Blanche is the interim AG, and it'll be him. Democrat Party, Southern District of New York, killed the investigations of the auto pen into the CIA and FBI attacking me, everybody else. This is a completely new Trump. This is a disaster. He literally looked last night at Mark Levin and said, you know, I know you're evil and you've seduced me, but I'm with you now, even if you're a bad person. I mean, he said, screw Medicare, Medicaid. We're at war now. I mean, Trump is making every move you'd make to destroy yourself right now. Oil, you know, exploding the most in one day ever. Saying, hey, the Strait of Hormuz is your problem. We didn't start it. What do you mean? This is beyond cuckoo town. So I'm proud we got Trump bit. He did a lot of good. We went through hell. But it's like they replaced his brain. You got Lindsey Graham making satanic faces on TV saying, I love war. I'm the most happy ever been. Days ago, Disney World following little girls around with a princess wand, drooling. I mean, look, did somebody slip 15 hits of acid in my coffee? Because, by the way, I got so freaked out by the news I didn't get coffee. Somebody grabbed me coffee. I forgot to only have like half a cup today. I need one. Now that I'm not awake, it soothes me a little bit. I literally need my little baba. I need my baby blanket here. I feel like I'm going crazy. You ever been around a crazy person and they make you feel crazy? I don't even know what to say. And then you've got the woman, the Capitol Police officer who's now in the CIA, probably was a long time ago, failing a polygraph of not being the pipe bomber. And you've got this obvious patsy they're trying to set up, who we Serafin first broke, was door dashing, and that's where they have him miles away, an autistic black guy. And then you've got Gabbard's out. I told you that a week ago, and I told you that Monday. Now they're saying she'll be out. Hell, maybe today. They're calling like super soldier heroes whose wife died, both of the CIA, cowards and scum, Joe Kent. And then the Democrats want total nuclear war with Russia. They're completely insane, so we're stuck between madness, whatever you want to call it. So here's a clip, just happened minutes ago. Fox News, Pam Bondi out, and Todd Blanche, who's been killing all the investigations in. So earlier today I said, well, Pam Bondi out, maybe there's a glimmer of sanity. Maybe you know, he puts Ed Martin in. And of course, we knew that wouldn't happen. No. The real AG that is on record, and I talk to people at the DOJ and it's on record, he did it, killing everything. Ed Martin. It was in the news. He told me about it. He gave me more detail. Had the chief of staff come into him 3 weeks into them being in office and said they had a committee running and it was illegal. I want to turn state evidence. They go to Blanche. Blanche goes, you're not going to know nothing. Smoking gun. It's like having the mob's bookkeeper come in the Untouchables. A true story. Nope. Sorry. You can't talk to him. everything being killed, everything being shut down. And then all these never Trumpers, Trump points at them and says, you will salute them or you're not MAGA. Well, guess what? I was never MAGA. I supported Make America Great, but I want to make it free again, Christian again, safe again. I'm 1776, honey. I cut my teeth 30 plus years ago on air. And Trump rode in our wave and did some good, but now he is a different creature. So brace for whatever new hells come. That's what I said. We started getting off course 8 months ago. It's getting bad. It's getting bad. It's like, meh, you know, if 12 o'clock's good and he's up here, you know, close to it, now he's to six is the worst. That lever's, that's spinning fast, folks. And the polls show it, 33%, his base exiting, Trump committing political suicide. Pam Bondi just did her hair and went to D.C. 2 days a week, did nothing, made money with the chief of staff off their consulting firm. Now they put a really bad man in. And what do you want to bet? He'll be the actual AG because the Democrats will prove him in 10 seconds. Trump's made the deal, or he's lost his mind, or a combination of both. Here's the Fox News clip. We'll go to Carl Sarah from this breaking news.
Is America Reports. All right, let's get straight to the White House again. Peter Ducey is standing by. Peter, what are you hearing was the main frustration of President Trump's when it came to Pam Bondi? Obviously making it very clear that the relationship was still intact, but he no longer wanted her to run the place.
Sandra, I can tell you that I phoned President Trump to ask him once these reports started coming out that the attorney general had been told that her time, it was nearing the end of her time at the Justice Department. And the president said he was preparing some remarks. We think that it is going to be the official announcement about the attorney general Bondi leaving the Justice Department. She will not be leaving the administration. They are going to find a different job for her. So President Trump thinks that she did a good job. President Trump still likes her. But at the time, at this time, he feels like Todd Blanche should be elevated in an interim role. So the plan, at least as of the last couple minutes, and a lot of things are changing, is to name Todd Blanche in an interim role as the country's top law enforcement officer running the Justice Department. We are hearing a lot of different things about why this might happen. We think President Trump will elaborate on that more. But when you talk to people here at the White House, it is very important to them, just to reiterate, that there's not bad blood right now with Bondi leaving. And we know that she was in the front row at the president's remarks last night during his address to the nation. So she is somebody that he still wants to have around, but he wants Todd Blanche, who has been with the president during some of the hardest times of his political life, when he was dealing with all these many, many lawsuits during the 4 years in between his first term and his second term. Todd Blanche was right there with him, fighting on the president's defense, legal defense. And now Todd Blanche gets a crack, at least temporarily, as the Attorney General of the United States.
Peter, we were just showing the video, a reminder to our viewers, yesterday when the president appeared at the Supreme Court to hear the government's arguments in his case. He arrived with Pam Bondi.
Yeah, I wonder what they talked about in the car, because that was just more than 24 hours ago. And again, it seems
and
like
again,
she,
Todd Blanche, she and the president still have basically won one case for Trump, was a total fraud, Jack Smith, Florida. The judge did that, not Todd Blanche. So Todd Blanche is an absolute menace. And so careful what you ask for. Bondi out, Todd Blanche in. And I remember General Flynn months ago, and he confirmed it, and I confirmed other sources, that they have opposition research with the DOJ. He got this from the DOJ, and then his family got contacted. Going around trying to dig up dirt on his family and him, and he learned, myself and others, including, because I get from the other sources, Kyle Serafin. So this is the little treat we get now, is basically the fourth administration of Barack Obama. So that's a long intro, Kyle. We got for the rest of the hour. We'll obviously get the huge pipe bomb news and all the rest of it, but my goodness. Kyle Serafin, former counterterrorism FBI agent before that, Air Force, EMT, you name it, fellow Texan down here. You live outside Austin, coming to us from your studio. This is just Twilight Zone getting more intense by the minute. And now Trump is basically gone from 90% doing good to 90% bad. I can't imagine. Well, let's just respond to it however you want. Kyle Serafin, KyleSerafinShow.com.
Hey, Alex. I'm exhausted today. This has been a wild last 48 hours or so. This week, for some reason, my wife and I were inspired to watch the movie Boondock Saints, which is a pre-9/11 concoction, something I remember watching when I was in college. And anyway, I sat and watched it. There's a scene in there towards the end of the movie as the Boondock Saints are getting more and more amped up. And their buddy Rocco goes in and he shoots some people and he comes back to the apartment and he like loses his mind and he shoots their cat and starts screaming at everybody and grabbing all of his stuff and shuffling in a duffel bag. And he's grabbing like pots and pans and an iron and, you know, a bottle and things that don't make any sense. And the Boondock Saints guys are like, yeah, I love it. It's getting crazy. Like, we're there right now. We're at the crazy time when everything feels really, really nuts. I heard the same as you, that Pam Bondi might be out today. Now it's been confirmed from the same people that told me that. They told me that Tulsi was going to be out. So maybe she's out next. I think we're moving into like the chaos realm. I don't know why, but it seems like Donald Trump, he starts off with momentum and then just gets completely freaking derailed by his own inability to just pick the right human beings and let him do the job. He picks these half-ass creatures that almost get there. They say some of the right things, but we all kind of recognize it early on, and he doesn't want to make the change. And I was told really early on in this administration that there would be no scalps, which means they weren't gonna eliminate anybody from the administration. They were only going to give people new jobs. Just remember, well, it was like a week and a half ago that we lost Kristi Noem, who was the Secretary of Homeland Security. I mean, there's been some massive, wild upheaval that has happened in Trump's administration, and he's like 1 year and change in, and it doesn't look that, like, all the polls are looking bad for the midterms. The numbers are looking terrible. People are not identifying with the Republican Party. There's an 11% grabbable vote, and I think people are just going to tune out. So,
and now
anyway,
he's saying
I'm
we're in
a war
economy, and we can't take care of Medicare and Medicaid. That's political sense. Yeah. I'd even say that. He's saying, I like evil people. I like Mark Levin. You've seduced me. He's out of his mind.
I see a lot of it though. I mean, I watch guys that are out there that were in the administration that have come out and their job is to run cover for it. So I spend a lot of time like hearing people point Dan Bongino stuff. I've been watching this Twitter fight between Tom Massey, who's probably my favorite member of Congress. I've donated to two people in history in politics. Now, I don't do political donations. I don't care to. I gave $50 to Gary Johnson, but when I was at the FBI Academy or just before I got there, because I thought he was better and he was more interesting to me than Donald Trump.
Yeah, the
or
Libertarian
Hillary Clinton.
Candidate. Yeah.
Yeah, and here's the thing. Like, he was a friend of, like, a buddy of mine's dad from New Mexico. So I had, like, this weird little, like, thing, and I go,
sure,
okay,
but listen, we're going to do this. I want you to get into it, but the big thing is this right now, but I know this ties in. Bongino's completely melting down, completely out of his mind. Remember I told you he called up screaming at me that time, saying, I know you're leaking, that I'm your source, when he wasn't. He was yelling and cussing and hyperventilating. It was a little bit of this phone call that got released from basically the same year. And this is what this guy is
2016
like. I mean,
meltdown.
Remember Mel Gibson had one meltdown like this. It was a big deal. No, he does it all the time. Where he's like, and you've literally done nothing to him. And he's like threatening to kick your ass. And I'm like, okay, well, dude, come on down then. At a certain point, I mean, you know. It's just
so
like,
Alex, you've been in the public sphere for a really long time. You've been a target of a lot of people. There are media hit jobs. They'll call you up. They want to comment. They're trying to bait you into some like angered response. Because if you could get Alex Jones, you know, basically crashing out on a phone call, you dominate the headlines for a little while. Alex Jones meltdown,
see,
all this kind of thing, right?
Thing
they
is,
would
no
love
one
that.
Can
you
ever
never
get
do
me
it.
Mad. It's when I'm already pissed off about other stuff. I always get mad when it's a whole, something else. You understand? Like, you can never get me mad when you want to. It's when I get mad. It's like little things build up, and then I do crash out.
Yeah, but here's the thing. You crash out on your own show in your own way when it's a thing that people understand. It's also somewhat entertaining for whatever it's worth. Like, your audience loves it, so that's not wrong. But Dan Bongino crashing out in public where some guy calls up and says a bunch of baiting things to him. This is the 2016 phone call you're talking about from now a guy at Politico. And he's swearing. It's like, you can call me. Listen, you know when a reporter calls you to do like a hit piece on you. If you're a fool if you don't know what that looks like. I just had John Solomon from Just the News, who was like an official mouthpiece for this regime. His people called me and tried to do a hit piece on me, and they wanted to get me to say something, you know, that was incriminating. I dominated them, and I dismantled the reporter in such a way. And it's like, it's comical to me because I know the real truth, to the point where I put it out on social media. I shared the whole phone call. I played it on my podcast for people
but
that wanted to hear
this,
it.
Like, it's obviously,
you
Solomon
can't trap
is an insider.
Me into that. I can't
what,
believe you
what
can
were
trap
they trying
Dan
to bait you on? What was the subject?
The subject was, we heard Kyle Serafin that while you were an FBI agent, you shot at a guy while you were, it's like, you lay out the story and you go, why do you believe that? And so I just dismantled this discussion.
I thought of you 2 days ago. The London Guardian ran an article that I almost shot my crew once. None of it's true.
Sure. But no, it doesn't have to be true. It just sounds salacious.
Do they have like a manual of the stuff they make up? Because it's the same thing.
You just go to the book. It sounds like that would be discrediting. Like, imagine if me, a guy who's used a firearm for a living, is, you know, not safe with a firearm, then we can discredit him. And it's like, well, you know how I know that I didn't shoot somebody or shoot at somebody while I was an FBI agent? Because I'm not wearing handcuffs and I'm not sitting in a prison cell right now. Are you out of your mind? So I had this fun conversation with the guy. I taped it. At the end, I said, I know you're doing a hit piece on behalf of Kash Patel. I know that you're out there trying to do something because your editor, Dan, you know, John Solomon, is trying to get back at me because I'm embarrassing the people that run the FBI. And he goes, yeah, you know, he's like sort of, you just make them roll over because they're dumb. To have Dan Bongino lose his mind over someone doing basically a real simple hit piece, and all you got to do is say, look,
oh, listen,
you're
one
wrong.
Time with the Daily Mail, but listen, let's do this hard. Later, because I don't have a guest next hour. Let's, because it's not that it's not important, because it's
I'm watching our feed get cut right now in real life, too. Like, are you seeing that?
Do what?
Are you watching the feed start clicking out here? Because I'm seeing that happen on my end, which is fun.
Are you about an X feed or a Rumble feed or what?
No, I'm watching our feed right here. Like, my camera's glitching on you, and there's no glitches.
I've been seeing your Zoom connection cut out, but let me just say this. Let's triage all the dirty tricks against us, because it's not just about us, but it's a learning thing for people to know what's like. Because you also have Kash Patel getting hacked, his lawsuit against you, all that. Well, let's do the Bongino and all that after we do the big 35,000-foot deal. Because I want to separate those things out. But absolutely, this is how they work. This is how they operate, and the public's figuring out, like, when someone's targeted, that's who you listen to. But also people have memories, Kyle. I'm not kissing your ass. The guest I have on the most, and most of the time you're too busy to even come on, which, you know, you need to get better at that, is people that are right. And right up there at the top of people that are almost always right is you. So people go at your track record and need to understand that this guy knows what he's talking about. And so we want to hear from you what you think's coming next. We don't want to just cover what's happening now. We want to hear from you and use that big brain to tell us what's coming next. Because I want to surround myself with people like you, because that's what I'm all about, is tomorrow's news today. That's my that is my currency. That is the ocean in which I swim. That is my God, because God is truth. I want to be close to truth. So let's talk about that. But just shifting back, bigger picture. Iran war. Trump giving mixed messages. I'm going to turn the Strait over. I'll never let him have the Strait. The war is over 18 times now. Now it's not. Markets crashing, oil exploding, all this craziness. Just in general, what do you think happens with Trump now? And what do you think he got rid of Bondi? I know he was mad at her for not getting prosecutions. Doesn't he know that it was Blanche running everything that killed it all? I mean, or is he that disconnected? Call Serafin.
I don't think Trump has ever known what the DOJ does or how the FBI works and what those two animals are and how they interact, because I just watched his last administration and he was a mess there. He swapped out AGs. He had to get a new, he got a new FBI director. It went from Comey to Ray. Ray was not an improvement. Ray was the guy who actually approved going after him in the first place. Here's the
and
real
when
crazy thing.
You go
thing.
From Sessions to Barr, that's like going from an incompetent to Satan.
Yeah, that's a good way to say it. It's like you took a guy who wasn't getting it done and you decided, let's go get the deep state guy that's been in the, that's already done this job before and was a problem then. So let me suggest
could it be that Bondi punched out? She's already got her lobbying money. Maybe she quit like Joe Kent.
Maybe so. I am actually kind of shocked that that Tulsi Gabbard didn't actually resign, because same thing, like her principles were against war and I don't think she wanted to be part of that. She went out and campaigned on no war. So if she has a political aspiration in the future, I wouldn't be shocked if she submitted a resignation. I could also see the Trump administration trying to fire her before that happens, because you don't want someone to do another Joe Kent. That was already a problem for them. I just don't think Trump knows who these people are here. Look, my buddy said this the other day. It may be the most important thing for people to understand. Tulsi Gabbard was actually being effective. And I am the most skeptical of watching Tulsi Gabbard walk into that government, because I've seen what she was before, and she ran for president as a Democrat and she held ideas that did not jibe with anything I'm about. But she did what she said she was going to do. She said she was going to go in there and try to clean house. As far as I can tell,
and she delivered
we're hearing
the goods.
Is that about,
she has integrity.
About 40% of the people that were working to ODNI, and I would say 80% of the people in ODNI or the intelligence agencies are working against the Trump agenda that we all voted for, the domestic agenda, the de-weaponization of government. She's gotten rid of a bunch of people there. she's gotten rid of probably 30 to 40 times more people than Kash Patel or Pam Bondi or anybody else in the DOJ side. So she was doing the thing that people thought we were getting when we got Donald Trump into office. So you can imagine that she's public enemy number one.
And the proof of the deep state's war against Trump in America, she has, other than RFK Jr., her and Kennedy have delivered more than anybody.
I would agree with that. And so, yeah, you're a threat to the problem. You're a threat to the status quo, or Mike Benz calls it the blob. You don't need a name for it. It's just the thing, permanent Washington, deep state, administrative state. They're all the same thing.
I call it the thing. Those things I've always called it the thing.
It is a thing. It's a thing with all the tools and you know, it turns on people. And what it does, it takes, there's two ways that it happens.
It's some people get compromised. I use the thing movie as the example.
Yeah, sure. Some people want to be compromised. They want to be part of the power, so they're willing to suckle up to evil, and they got no problem. Other people are just so dumb that their pride, their hubris, like placating their ego, I think this is the Bongino scenario, where you just tell them things and let them think they're in charge, and they get that you know, call them sir and give them a protective detail, and that's enough. And we're in a scenario where unserious people have been doing really serious jobs. The serious people that were doing it have been demonized. So here's the 30,000-foot view from what I've been seeing over the last, like, let's say 48 hours, because it's been insane, on just one little microcosm case. You want to talk about war. You want to talk about Epstein files. I think all those things are interesting. Let's look at the microcosm of the J6 pipe bomber, which, by the way, was one of the top three priority cases that Patel and Bongino said they were going to handle when they got into the FBI. And rightly so. It was the real claim of mass violence. It was the thing that was cited that caused a lot of the J6ers to have way outsized sentences, because it was like this like horrible thing that could have happened. I was briefed 7 days after January 6, 2021, that the pipe bombs were inert. Okay, Alex, I personally had an FBI agent from the JTTF come out to Falls Church, Virginia, at a volunteer fire department. We stood in a parking spot and we asked about it. And the reason why I asked the question and wanted to know, because if we do a surveillance posture on someone and they're dropping real bombs, we need to stand off much further. And they said the bombs looked very bomb-like. They were not real. That's been reported in the Daily Wire going back to 23.
But let's give them the big part up front. Give the big part up front. The woman that investigative journalists said could be a suspect who threatened to sue everybody, the Capitol Police lady that's now CIA, failed a FBI polygraph.
It's even deeper than that, because in the last 20 hours or so, the filings that have come in from the government, we'll go through them like maybe in the next half hour. We can run next through them segment, kind of sequentially. Yeah. Here's the biggest wild piece, Alex, to have people tune in for this. I think that the government actually issued kind of a covert threat against this woman. And I think that not only did she failed a polygraph saying whether or not she dropped the pipe bombs, the government made a filing saying that there are anonymous threats on her life, which would be a really great cover story to tie up some loose ends. I think Shawnee Kirkoff, who was identified by The Blaze November 8th, who was, quote unquote, cleared by the FBI because of a video.
Is in physical danger of a deep state hit like Seth Rich?
100%. I think that is a serious, legitimate concern.
Exactly. When I first saw this break yesterday, when I was going off air, I said, oh, they're going to kill her.
Exactly correct. That's the concern. So we need to make sure that people understand that this cannot happen. We need to make sure that we pre-bunk the idea they think they can get away with doing something like that. And I rarely will come out and say something, because this is kind of a wild statement. But I know that our government has already killed about this story, and I hope that story comes out very soon. But I know the name of the person that was killed over it. I think we're actually looking at an interview that was supposed to take place with my friend Steve Baker. And I think someone called and compromised that. It was a major, major outlet. Just absolutely terrifying time on all of this. Not to bury the lead on it like we end up doing.
You're right. This brings down the whole J6 deep state conspiracy run by Bill Barr and others and Nancy Pelosi. Kyle, let's break it all down straight ahead. We'll be right back. My people perish for lack of knowledge. That's what the Bible tells us. Another way to say it is, those that don't know history are doomed to repeat it. God has given us compounds in nature that aren't just important, they're vital, they're essential. If you don't have oxygen for 4 minutes, you die. You don't have water for 4 or 5 days, you die. You don't have food for a month, you die. And why is that? Because there's nutrients in the food you need that are essential. Well, iodine is one of the essential nutrients. We have massive shortages of it in our depleted soils. Now, I have a new CIA declassified document I'm going to hit here in just a moment. But first, I want to show you a few headlines. UN study, 2 billion people suffer from vitamin mineral deficiencies, particularly iodine, the number one cause of cognitive disabilities in the world today. Here's another one. Salt smarts how iodine has increased America's IQs. starting in the 20s, we had super low IQs like iodine. They put it in 15, 20 point increase. My point is, this is a known fact. It just got declassified 2 weeks ago, CIA Operation Artichoke in the 50s. They said, we've been tasked by the big tax-free foundations, the Rockefellers and Carnegies, to dumb down the American people. And we're going to put poisons in the food, the water, and the vaccines to dumb them down to make them more manageable. Absolutely incredible. So right here, ladies and gentlemen, I have taken a few drops of our new T3, even better than X2, pure atomic iodine, and mixed it with our medical-grade methylene blue. Both of these supercharge your cells, clean out your body, and counter the effects of the things now being admitted by the CIA. That fluoride calcifies the pineal gland and jackets your cells where they cannot transmit. And I've been telling you this for decades. So they have major studies, but now here it is. CIA declassified research. The human body is a liquid crystal that is literally transmitting and receiving a transceiver. And what does fluoride do? It literally blocks that. What goes in and strips that out? Iodine and methylene blue. They act in different ways. So this is information that the bad guys not want you to know. Also in the CIA document, they admit that most cancer is microscopic worms. There's hundreds of species that get in and colonize your body, amoebas, and eat your breast, your liver, your brain, you name it. And then they call it a tumor and cancer when they're just areas of your body that have been chewed out. Now, you've seen us with countless doctors and scientists on talking about this. Not all cancer is this, but the majority of it from studies is, and they are again telling you that you just got to die. And if you've got an infection of parasites in your brain or whatever, if they hit it with radiation, it kills the parasites. But the radiation also kills your regular cells. Turns out the majority of people in the world have one form or another of parasite. Here's the Daily Mail. CIA faces furious backlash after a hidden document. The potential cure for cancer is declassified after 60 years. We've talked about this for many, many years. We are totally vindicated again. And right now, we finally have the original pure iodine back, but even stronger, now known as T3. The original X2, but even better, at thealexjonesstore.com. Again, ladies and gentlemen, T3 and what it does for your body is amazing. So for a limited time, you can get T3, our new iodine, the very best ever, at thealexjonesstore.com if you're a VIP member for 50% off, regular customers 25% off at thealexjonesstore.com. It funds the operation, total win-win. Now, methylene blue, you fill in 30 minutes on average. Iodine takes about 2 weeks to kick in to get the full effect, but it is just as amazing. You are insane if you don't go to thealexjonesstore.com right now and get our Ultra Methylene Blue and the new T3 that's even better than the next two, the same formula but stronger. Exclusively available right now at thealexjonesstore.com. And I thank you so much for your support.
Leading a frontal assault on the lies of the New World Order, it's Alex Jones.
Fortune tanto vulnera, si latibus obsedis, potsu amici vulnera, sutra imprevedis.
From the front lines of the information war, it's Alex Jones.
Well, this is not radio/TV for lightweights, folks. Serafin is extremely smart. His brain moves very quickly. I can barely keep track of it. And so it's my job to try to dial him in, but then I'm also moves just almost as fast. So it's kind of creates an atomic reaction to stick us together here like uranium and plutonium. But I want to get into Lee Zeldin, who overall I think has a pretty good pass, pretty good instincts, are saying maybe he's a replacement. It doesn't look good. I don't see Todd Blanche being brought in and leaving. We'll look at that. Sarah's going to ride shotgun with us into the next hour. I've cleared the decks of even another guest so we can do this because it is important as a microcosm of how this operates to look at Bongino and play this audio of him, which I told Serafin over a year ago, did a phone call with me, similar to this, but not hyperventilating, cussing at me, threatening me. And I'm just like, dude, I mean, come on, man. You're not 8 years old. You know, we're not in fifth grade here, which just goes to the psychology of the people that were in there. And how it ties into everything else and where this is going. But let's get back to this Capitol police officer who the researchers and folks looked at, who you staked out next to her house in the terror investigation, at the house next door to her with this other Capitol police officer. You didn't know why you were there. You were there. I mean, the weirdness of that. And notice they never challenged that was the case. You did that in counterterrorism. And then them upping up everything on J6 because of the pipe bombs that we always heard were inert. Now we've confirmed the poor black autistic guy that was a food delivery guy, your DoorDash delivery person. You were the first to break that it was miles away in their track on his food delivery. That's now come out. So the boldness, the recklessness of not just covering this up, we're not saying it's her, but certainly not the black man, Mr. Cole, it's so reckless. And so now you're saying, and you're a guy that has, I never seen one of your predictions not come true. Okay. You don't make a ton of them, but your analysis of what's about to come out has always been on. You're saying you think she's in danger. And the first thing I thought when I saw this yesterday is if they can't contain this, it'll bring down the whole J6, Bill Barr, Pelosi, it's already been exposed to operation, and the feds being fake arrested and being handcuffed and high-fived and all that, and the FBI director lying about no feds there, and it was, you know, hundreds of them, obviously. We've already seen it in an Antifa's auxiliary putting MAGA gear on over it. This brings it all down. So this isn't a side issue. This is a central issue, and now we learn the FBI... And go through all this because I've studied polygraphs, are so interesting, but not like you and the experts you've talked to in the Defense Department and FBI. But I know that's true. It's how you act before, during, and after. All of it, these are very accurate when it's a good person doing it, it's in their background research. And it's how she was so well trained for the deception is why she didn't just fail on the graph, she failed in the real test. And so this is so huge. And again, CIA after? Yeah, right, folks. They got agents in place all over. And with her whole background and the rest of it. So I agree with you that she is in Seth Rich territory. And It's important to talk about that so they don't kill her, because they've done everything they can to intimidate people, threaten lawsuits, all sorts of other weird deaths, like you said. So start over slowly, like we're 5 years old and not a counterterrorism FBI agent, former agent like you. And explain what the angles of this and what happened.
On January 5th of 2021, a person wearing a hoodie spent about 40 minutes on camera, on and off, starting at about 7:30, going to about 8:30 in that range, and delivered two devices that looked very much like bombs, but I was briefed, were not bombs in the Capitol area. One was at roughly the RNC. The other was at roughly the DNC. Those are the RNC and the DNC bombs. They were recovered by Capitol Police officers. One was after a tip from a woman who worked for a cell phone company called FirstNet. I'm not sure that that's all that relevant, but that was the story. They set up a minimum safe and a cordon, and then they went looking for others. They found the other bomb in about 11 and a half minutes, a little bit less than that, and then never looked for another bomb again, which has raised questions by me.
And on the footage, like bloodhounds, they go right to where it's at.
They went directly to it. This was all uncovered because of internet researchers that are available, and also from the people that were previously at the Blaze, but I believe have probably been fired. I don't have like 100% confirmation on it, but they've removed Blaze from their bios. Steve Baker and Joe Hanneman followed this story all the way to the end. That was in January of 2021. The second week of January 21, or just the week after that, on the 13th, I believe, in the 14th of January 2021, as part of a surveillance team with the FBI, as an FBI agent working for the Washington field office, was stationed to watch a home. And we were trying to pattern the life of a person of interest, I think afterwards known as person of interest 3, who ends up probably not having anything to do with anything, but lived directly next door to a person that was discovered by the Blaze, matched a forensic gait analysis and a bunch of other sort of interesting circumstantial indications that a Capitol police officer lived directly next door to where I was.
Go back a minute. Mm-hmm. I know you don't know, and you've said, but you're a smart guy. What are the chances out of D.C. that you're put in a pipe bomb J6 investigation looking at another Capitol cop next door to her? What are the chances of that, and what do you think that was about? Or do they have a geolocation from, but they could check the name on it. Why would it be?
There were a lot of reasons. Yeah, Alex, there's a lot of reasons why we were there. And that case has been litigated very, very aggressively. In fact, the guys at the Blaze ran this thing down. We're still not 100% sure what it is. But the odds of me showing up and looking at a door as an FBI agent, and then the person being alleged to have matched forensically to the actual subject being next door, it's just two random houses being right next to each other in Washington, D.C. is one in roughly 6 trillion. So it's an astronomically low percentage chance that we randomly ended up in the wrong place.
So do you think I don't know what the connection was. Was using Palantir or something and it just kind of misidentified?
No, I don't think so. So there were three persons of interest. Person of interest one was the person wearing the hoodie. That's the person that's on the screen with me right now. Person of interest two was a person that did some really illogical things, took some pictures in a alleyway, and then also took another picture that was roughly in the same vicinity of the different bomb. So that was really strange. And then person of interest three was the owner of the home directly next door to Shawnee Kirkhoff, who was the Capitol Police officer that was implicated by the blaze, and then also has been outed in this filing that just came out yesterday.
So again, what are the chances you have another Capitol Police officer right next to a suspect?
Well, you're close, but you're not quite on. So the person that we looked at was actually a guy that worked for a different government agency, and I don't think he was involved in anything. He had a house guest that he hadn't seen in something like 30 or 50 years come in and stay with him. That guy had some very interesting connections to some overseas ministries and maybe some CIA. shady. Yeah, I mean, that's kind of the implication from what I've heard. We don't have a hard link to it, but it's possible.
And now she's CIA.
Yeah, exactly. And then the person next door was Shawnee Kirkhoff and a guy named Dan Dickert. And Dan Dickert was a Capitol Police officer as well, her boyfriend. So you had two Capitol Police officers living in the door directly next to, about 5 feet away from the door that I was watching. And we were watching people. We don't know what the connection is still. It's actually still not been explained, but it's really, really bizarre. And like I said, it's six trillion to one that you would end up two random doors next to each other of interest.
Well, what about
to the
this?
Same
you
case.
Got the floor on this, but just so I understand this, to the FBI's credit, they go interrogate her, do a polygraph. She fails it. You'll get into that.
Oh, it's really bad, actually.
So let's do it. Go ahead.
All right. So the case is cold. The FBI runs down all the forensics they can do. They go and they dump all kinds of cash register receipts. They're doing, they're looking through thousands and thousands of purchase history for very specific types of devices that were found on the pipe bomb, allegedly, which they claim was a viable device, but that's not a thing that we do. They either say it functioned or would have functioned as designed, or it was inert. They didn't give either of those. They claim viability. That's not a thing that we usually do in the bomb world. So all that's kind of really bizarre. Basically, the case is cold. They ran down a bunch of subjects. They found somebody they tried to do some gait analysis on because the pipe bomber on the video with the hoodie has a very specific right leg limp. And they tried to find a guy who had a right leg limp.
It was like 98% accurate tracking how people walk like a fingerprint.
That's what Baker's analysis found. That's what the Blaze originally published that they've since retracted. But they actually, the FBI, and there's a story from the Washington Post acknowledging that early on in the first few months of 2021, they actually ran down a guy who had a specific limp. They saw him at a gym. He had the right kind of shoes. So they were trying to figure out if he was it. He was ruled out. They kept ruling out subject after subject after subject.
But I'm here's not where it gets AI. Really, that looks like a woman's hips and a woman.
Everyone says so. Yeah. And by the way, there's way more damning footage of that, and maybe that will come out very soon. There's a lot of footage, and it's very, very indicative of what we think is going on here. So broadly speaking, years of cold case, years of no answer. FBI takes it from $25,000 to $50,000 to $100,000 to $250,000 to $500,000 rewards. All of that indicates that you can't claim this was a training event that the government already knew about, because now you've got the FBI actively, theoretically moving an investigation. If they wanted to claim it was a training event, the time to do that was many, many years ago. I think that they wanted to do that, though. I think that me and my friends actually debunked this story. We had Joe Hanneman, who was formerly with the Blaze, said those things as much. We said, you can't explain it away as
and
a
again,
training
is
exercise.
Is that a black guy or a woman? Back that up. Everybody, is that a
well,
woman?
Well, here's the other thing that's on
guy?
Top of that, Alex.
Yeah, go ahead.
There were two people that actually walked by the pipe bomber on that night and claimed that it was a white male or a white person that was behind that mask. And so we're seeing a night vision footage. So this is color, not color corrected. It's actually done in like infrared. But
look at the shoulders and hips. It's a woman.
The funniest thing about all of that stuff is that this is deliberately degraded video to one frame per second, which is why it's so choppy and jumpy. The FBI changed the aspect ratio and they changed the frame rate to make it crap video so that nobody could analyze it, which leads me to believe the FBI is part of the cover up, even though I don't think they did the planning of this. And I'll give you a unified theory of it in a minute. But long and short, we go for about 5 years with no stories. Steve Baker, doing a bunch of work on use of force on January 6th. He was a January 6th reporter for the Blaze. He was a J6er himself. He was arrested by the FBI. And he pointed out on November the 4th that Shawnee Kirkhoff was a Capitol Police officer on January 6th who was firing pepper balls in a way that he thought was probably incompatible with less than lethal force, and was actually lethal force firing at heads and above the shoulders, which is not allowed. It's an illegal use of that technology if you're not actually justified to use it in a lethal way. So that's where this kind of starts. But before that, sometime in September and October, he had brought his findings that he believed that Shawnee Kirkhoff, who, you know, is 5'7" and was a Capitol Police officer and was in the proximity and fit all the dimensions of, let's say, I don't know, Dan Bongino's parameters for someone who would have placed the pipe bombs before Dan became an FBI guy. We had this story that he brought to DHS and ODNI, as I understand it, and they started looking into it. There was a freakout that happened in the intelligence community, and somebody at ODNI, Tulsi Gabbard's organization, leaked it over to John Rathkes' organization at the CIA, and the CIA panicked because she currently worked at the CIA at that time. This is when everything kind of spins out of control. November 4th, The Blaze releases a story talking about less than lethal force. This is Baker and Hanneman saying Shawnee Kirkhoff shot people in the face with a pepperball gun, essentially. I'm paraphrasing. On November the 6th, per court filings, you guys can go and pull that up. It's document number 58, and that was filed yesterday. We find out that on November the 6th, the FBI did an interview with her, a subject interview, an investigative interview, and they also did a polygraph, which is not always common. In fact, I don't think I've ever done a polygraph of a subject. But when you're in the intelligence community and you hold a top secret clearance, people get polygraphed occasionally when you might be a security risk. She failed the polygraph, which is also known as deception indicated is the way that they actually phrase it. It's not a fail per se. Deception is indicated. And there were two very relevant questions that they cite in this court filing. We're taking the attorney's word. I don't think they would get disbarred by filing things that were untrue from the discovery. Question number one was, quote, I'm actually going to go to it here. So yet on the screen, but I'll go to it myself.
Yeah, punch it up. Take control of the feed if you want. Just put it on the screen.
Well, let me just... Yeah, you've got it on there. I'm going to I'm just going to read it on my side. You guys had it actually on your desk, or you had it on the screen perfectly. This is in it's page number one of the filing. It's at the bottom there. November 6th, she's interviewed. Two relevant questions. Number one, did you place those pipe bombs? Direct quote. And then the second one, number two, did you place those pipe bombs that evening? She failed the polygraph. That's a conventional way of saying something, which is that she indicated deception. The polygraph examiner also noted, this is relevant, quote, a very controlled reaction to the news of her failing the polygraph and seemingly rehearsed responses to the examiner's question. Now, the context for that is as follows. Alex, when you take a polygraph examination in the federal space and you want to get a security clearance, you don't really learn this when you're working on it. But I found out after the fact, having talked to polygraphers, the polygraph starts the minute you walk in the door. And that the machine and the blood pressure and the measurement of respirations and the little things that measure how much you're perspirating on or perspiring on your fingers and the little sensors under your butt cheeks and the things they put under your toes, all that stuff, those are props. They're the machine. They give you a physiological response, but they're not the actual polygraph. The polygraph is done by the examiner. They ask you questions before, after, and during
exactly.
the time that you're on the machine.
The human is the real examiner.
That's the examiner, correct. And so their it's relevant like understanding
Blade
of what
Runner,
you're doing.
The machine doesn't matter. It's what they're watching. And like you said, she did a very professional, they said, well-trained, prepared, which CIA.
Now, look, she might have just done it on instinct. When I was there, they actually did the same thing to me. So I went through my polygraph with the FBI. It's called a full-scope poly. That means that they're going to do a lifestyle poly, which is like, how did you live? Did you ever cheat academically? And then a CI poly, which includes things like marital infidelity and your money and other things like that and, you know, foreign contacts. So I had a full-scope poly when I went through the FBI. They asked me a couple questions about lifestyle. And at the end, they finish it. They take the meter off you. They pulled my little, you know, chest strap off. And the guy goes, look, you did pretty okay on it. You just had some basic deception indicated or maybe some inconclusives talking about academic dishonesty. So you probably just cheated on a Latin test when you were in high school or something. That's what the guy actually said to me. I still remember it. That was in 2015. And I looked him dead in the eye and I go, you know, I never 0.75 GPA because I would never cheat off anybody. I'm so arrogant. I'd actually rather write my own answers, even if I didn't go to class. No, I never cheated on anything. So that's the right answer. I did not go back on any statement I made. And so they look at it and they go, okay, well, you know, whatever the answer was that they were looking for, they're gauging me. Am I going to say something that's contradictory to my previous answers? So what they do is they give you a list of questions. They ask you, have you ever committed a crime that you got away with? Yes. Okay. What crimes were they? I sped excessively. I broke into a building when I was a kid. I did this. And these are all my answers, right? So they were all on file. And then they go, did you ever commit a crime that you didn't list on this thing? And I go, no. And they go, great. So then they go and they put you on the machine. They ask you the questions. And then they do some follow-up where they might try to jam you up on something. She continued to do the right thing and answered in a controlled manner. That could mean that she was coached. It could mean that it was true, but she had a physiological response to a question that doesn't make any sense to have a physiological response to. And that is, did you place those pipe bombs? Alex, I don't know how many times you've driven a Ferrari, but I've never driven a Ferrari. I've also never driven or stolen an F-16. If you came to me and we found out that there was a missing F-16 out there in the world, like the meme song that's all over Instagram.
I have no anxiety saying I didn't steal it.
Exactly. They'd go, Seraphim, did you steal that F-16? And it's like, no, because I've never even touched an F-16.
Well, if I was in the interview for a government job, I'd say, you already know all this stuff. If you want me for the mission, if I accept the mission, I'll do it. Let's just end the interview now because I'm not going to answer your questions. So
yeah, and they're not going to hire you because you said that. So anyway, it's a yes or no thing, and it's real simple. Did you place those pipe bombs? No, and you have a reaction. Did you place those pipe bombs this evening? No, and you have a physiological reaction. It means something. Now, it doesn't mean that you're guilty. It means you had a reaction to it. I don't know why. Maybe your boyfriend did. Maybe your family member did. Maybe someone told you about it and they were guilty and you feel bad for them. There's a lot of reasons why you can fail a polygraph and have a reaction. What doesn't happen is you don't discontinue the investigation.
She double failed. She failed the physical.
She failed on two questions.
And the assessment.
And then the assessment afterwards, the polygraph examiner thought she was practiced. So that's a contradicted technique.
I wonder.
And then
the last part of it is, oh, the CIA.
Well, here's the worst part of it. The FBI apparently stopped investigating her after that. And that's not what happens. They don't shut down an investigation.
So were they just trying to get dirt on her to suppress her later for the cover up?
I don't think so. So here's what we read in the piece. You guys can actually scan down a little bit further on that document. On November the 7th, 5 days after the FBI opened a file on Mr. Cole, or sorry, 5 days before they started investigating Mr. Cole, on November 7th, they named her a person of interest. So you fail the polygraph. The next day, the FBI opens up a subfile on you under person of interest. This is the way that it was exported in discovery, as far as I can understand it. That's my experience with working on the FBI's file system. There'd be a subfile of like POIs. Person of interest. So then you have the government immediately does subpoenas. These are logical investigative steps. They did preservation requests for numerous electronic accounts and so on. They asked for certain things from her, and they asked for things from her, let's say, phone provider and so on and so forth. And then on November 12th, the same day that the government opened the investigation into Mr. Cole, they actually brought her in for another interview. Mr. Dickert, her.
So listen, it's great you're going through all the minutiae and it's fascinating, but we got a lot of other cover other than this.
Yep, we're going to keep going.
What
all
does
I want
this
you to know
mean,
is
though,
on
that,
the 12th,
that this has come out now and that Mr. Cole's defense knows this and that his GPS location shows he's driving around delivering food? What are they going to do now?
Well, they've already said what they're going to do, and they actually said it in their motion to answer the government. The government took this motion that they filed, where they basically exposed that there was a failed polygraph by this woman who was being investigated by the FBI. By the way, you can't have a defamation case if the FBI is actually investigating your client when my friend publishes a story about it.
How are you in a defamation case if you're a journalist saying this person may be involved? You learn the FBI called him in and drug him in and said they failed the test. Did you do it? I mean, that's like—
And they not only did that, they did it 2 days before his piece was released. So he was on the ball. He was following down logical investigative leads that the FBI was doing the exact same thing. That's the big piece. What happened next is really wild. Alex, there was a form that was filed that was document number 59 in the case. And that was the government essentially came out and said, the defense has found themselves in contempt of court. They have violated the gag order on this case. They have shared sensitive information illegally against the ruling of the judge, and they are now in contempt of court. They've done so intentionally. They've done so in order to cause a press splash. They've gone so and caused
so
a real problem.
They tried
and
to intimidate lives. Everybody off the case. It didn't work. Where does it go next? Give us
a picture. Here's where it gets really wild. Okay. They tried to shut it down with this contempt order. The defense said, fine, we're going to withdraw our motion. We're going to file it again under seal. That's what they did. So it's currently under seal, even though we have copies of it, because once it's on the internet, it's forever. Then the defense filed document number 66, and document number 66 is freaking wild. They said, we did this in good faith. We went out there and we made like simple allegations that we would like to consider that we are going to present an alternate theory of the crime. This is like Perry Mason stuff. What they said is, we'd like to be able to investigate and present to a jury at trial, and we're going to need some information. We need all the subpoena results. We want the video footage of her and her dog that you claim was a thing. By the way, I was told in a letter, which you have on your desk, where I actually just picked it up, that letter from Shawnee Kirkhoff's defense attorneys claims that there's video of her hanging out with her dog. We find out in these response documents that there is no video of her with her dog. There's a video of her dog, and allegedly her voice is off screen on that, which is wild. Okay. And this all goes back to Bongino in a second as well, because Bongino got himself involved in a pissing match with Tom Massey, who's also involved. Now, the document 59 was the order or claim that there was contempt. The response to it by Brian Cole Jr.'s defense attorneys, not only did they say, we did this in good faith, we're doing everything we can in the order we did, they said that they had a conversation. It's on page 8 of 9, if you guys want to look at the bottom of it. And this is the craziest thing that has maybe come out as this thing gets crazier and crazier. First, we learned Shawnee Kirkhoff was an actual person of interest. Second, we learned she failed a polygraph. Third, we learned they arrested another guy and they opened a case on him out of nowhere, and their case is garbage. And then you find this. I'm going to read it directly from the document. Notably, when defense counsel, so that's Brian Cole's counsel, was specifically asked in the motion, you know, what is sensitive material, the government could not point to any specific part of paragraph 4 from the gag order. People can watch my podcast this morning. I went into it in great detail. When further pressed by defense counsel, the government eventually stated that the motion fell under one specific category of the protected order. This is the fourth paragraph of document number 12 from this case. It's section C. And they said, quote, identifying information, including true names. The defense counsel read the full sentence back to the government. Identifying information, including true names and photographs, they put it in italics to highlight it very specifically, regarding government agents who act in an undercover capacity with respect to this investigation. And I don't know whether the government is trying to imply that Shawnee Kirkhoff was a government agent who acted in an undercover capacity with respect to this implication or this investigation, which would be a freaking like enormous bombshell.
So you're saying it looks like they're using that she was in an official capacity now as the cover.
That's only one possibility. The other possibility is they're trying to do bad lawyering where they're saying, yes, we want to artificially expand paragraph 4C and include things, and we're trying to be disingenuous and we're arguing in bad faith. So there's one part that's like a lawyerly trick. There's another part that's an admission saying she's a government undercover agent.
So basically, I don't know which now one is this true. Is out of control, off the rails. The next move is kill her.
I mean, the next move is they said that she was threatened, that she had people already threaten her. I actually sent you guys the Joe Hanneman tweet. And we can show the email that she apparently got anonymous emails from this resender out of Russia. By the way, I've gotten threats from there. I think Owen has as well, and I think you have as well. This is this Russian emailer service that will allow you to hide your identity. And it was a threat saying, I'm on my way to Shawnee Kirkhoff's house right now, and I'm going to go out there and execute her. I'm going to shoot her because she's a glowy or some nonsense. And so they're already giving you the reason that the government is basically set up that the defense attorneys for Brian Cole, Steve Baker, Joe Hanneman, Kyle Serafin, probably Alex Jones as well. We're all the bad guys because we're talking about this story, which is of public interest.
Now it's our fault. We're going to get her killed.
It's our fault. Yep. That's exactly what they're trying to argue. And this is absolutely unacceptable. We can't let it stand.
And then you got Bongino attacking Massey for even covering this and just flipping out everywhere.
Okay. Here's where it gets even wilder. And we can lead into the next hour with this one. The Bongino Massey thing, I don't think Dan Bongino knew under any circumstances that she failed that polygraph. I think he found out about Shawnee Kirkhoff's name on November the 8th when the Blaze published that story. And then on the 12th, when they opened the file into Brian Cole Jr., and he said explicitly to Tom Massey, Massey has told me, and he's published it online, that Bongino was going to personally bankroll the defamation lawsuit by Shawnee Kirkhoff against reporters and anybody that was involved in sharing this story.
But didn't they also threaten members of Massey's staff with indictment?
That's correct. All right. That was Bongino.
Wow, a lot to remember here. Boy, they are scared. Wow, we got their ass. Stay with us.
In a world where globalists, depopulationists, principalities, and powers of the air have been adding, spraying, and inundating humans with heavy metals, chemicals, and toxins, TheAlexJonesStore.com would like to introduce a new way to remove them from your body from the inside out. Introducing Zeolite. Zeolites are a group of crystal-like porous minerals that are found where molten stone meets water. From the Greek zeo, to boil, and lithos, or light, meaning stone, this unique network of tiny little holes and channels found in zeolite absorb and remove harmful substances like heavy metals, chemicals, and other toxins. So don't delay. Start the process of removing unwanted toxins from your body and put some skin in the game of the InfoWar today by going to TheAlexJonesStore.com and picking up a bottle of Zeolite.
Whatever the future may hold, InfoWars will always live forever. The fight will continue. Be sure to follow us on X at RealAlexJones and at AJNLive. And now you can download the number one news app in the world. Go to AlexJonesApp.com and let the Democrat Deep State Party know that we will never be silenced.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.